Das Tefillah 37. Here we go. We're discussing the three Avos and how the Avos are connected, each one of them, their lives, their way that they're related to Kadosh Baruch Hu, was similar to one of the Tefillos. So, last time we talked about Avraham. Avraham came after darkness. He came after darkness. He lived a life where he saw tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he emulated that and provided tremendous chesed to other people. And that's very much the state of Boker, very much the state of the morning, very much the state of Shachris. Everything went well for him till the end of his life. He certainly had he had tests, but the tests weren't as much emotional tests. He had moments. He lost his wife. He had to deal with Hagar. But for the most part, he ended up in a place where he was Zakein v'Saveya. Everything good. So now we go to Yitzchak. Yitzchak Dom L'Mincha. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece today about Yitzchak and about Yaakov. Yitzchak Dom L'Mincha. Yitzchak is like Mincha. Chaye Yitzchak mito'arim lanu ki yirida Unifila mima'amado shel Avraham. The time of Yitzchak is a fall from the great heights of the time of Avraham. It's not simply, you can't understand, just like you can't understand Avraham without understanding that he came after a period of darkness, period of spiritual darkness, a period where people had forgotten about the Ribono Shel Olam. You can't understand Yitzchak unless you understand that before him came Avraham. Avraham was keneged the sun rising. Everything going well. He was in the Seal of Kim. Everybody respected him. He was known throughout the land. We talked last time, the Medrash says that they offered him to be the king of the entire world. Everything is rising. Yitzchak is a Yerida and a Nefila from the place of Avraham. Kilalat ki ger yiyeh zaracha be'eretz lo lahem. The klala that Avraham heard about, that his children will be foreigners in a foreign land, matchila lehitkayem mileidato, starts with the birth of Yitzchak. We know Avraham Avinu was told that 400 years, his children are going to be strangers in a land that is not theirs. We also know that the Jewish people were only 210 years in Egypt. So how do you work this out? So Chazal tells, Rashi tells us famously that the 400-year count starts from the birth of Yitzchak. Because it just says that for 400 years, it doesn't say they'll be slaves for 400 years. They weren't even slaves for 210 years. It just says that for 400 years, they'll be strangers in a land that isn't theirs. Avraham was not a stranger in a land that wasn't his. He was a ger vitoshav. Ger vitoshav anochi imachem. He was a stranger, but he was also a resident. And he had the respect of everyone that's there. You can't say that he lived a life where he felt like a stranger in a strange land. But from the birth of Yitzchak, from his very existence, that's when the count of 400 years starts, because he is a stranger in the land of Israel. Osa ema chashecha gedola. Avraham Avinu was told that the Bris Ben Avosarim is going to be a great darkness that's going to befall the world. Right? Avraham is not living at that time. Avraham is living before the great darkness descends. But then there's going to be a great darkness that descends over the world. Shechaza Avraham b'machazeh halayla. He saw in his dream overnight. Matchila lehishtarer, lehistarer. Right? It begins to prevail. Bevo'o shel Yitzchak le'olam. It begins to raise its head, raise its time, when Yitzchak comes to the world. Okay? Chai hu be'eretz Yisrael kiger, v'lo kemelech. Okay? Yitzchak lives a very, very different existence than Avraham. He lives like a stranger. He doesn't get any respect from anybody. They fill up the wells that his father had. They kick him around from here to there. He is a nobody. Chai hu be'eretz Yisrael, he lives in Israel like a ger, v'lo kemelech, like a stranger and not like a king. Nodeid mimakom l'makom, he goes from place to place. Nirdaf, he's chased after. Vinitrad, he's bothered. Mikinas plishtim umigurash meratzam. Right? The plishtim don't like him. Avimelech kicks him out of the land. Sovel mi bno Esav unishotav. And boy, this guy's got a lot of problems. Yitzchak has got a lot of issues. He's got one son who's off the derech, who married some, you know, it's one thing to intermarry once. He intermarries twice. He's got two women who are Ovdei Avodah Zarah, who are beside him. Toveya Yisurim Me'akadosh Baruch Hu. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Yisurim. We'll have to see what this means. He asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for travails. U'mimenu he'matchilim v'tichena einav mira'ot. And through him they begin, his eyes go dark. He is blinded. He's not able to see towards the end of his life. What exactly is this reference? So Rav Rakovsky here quotes the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Toldos. The Medrash Rabbah says, a very, very interesting Medrash Rabbah. I'll read it to you inside the Medrash Rabbah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Simon, Avraham Tova Zikna. Avraham was the first one to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grow old. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam uvno nichnosin l'makom ve'ein adam yodeh l'mi mechabe mitoch mechabe. Father and son walk in and they looked exactly the same. They look just the same. The father and the son look to be the same age. People, strangely enough, didn't seem to grow old. One day, they just died of old age. But they didn't grow old. They didn't look like they were getting old. And Avram said, this isn't right. This isn't something that's good for society. People stand up. We don't know who they're standing up for. If you can be me'ater bezikna, if you can give him the crown of old age, and then we know who people are standing up for. Very interesting. A lot of people today are only looking for the fountain of youth. It's called the atara, the crown of old age. The crown of looking old is something that gains a person respect if they've lived a certain life. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dover Tov Tavata. He goes, good point. Good point, Avraham. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking beforehand? I'm not sure. But the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, good point.
So let's
start with you. And it says, Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamim. Avraham is old. Despite the fact that Avraham lives 2,000 years after creation, he lives 2,000 years after Adam HaRishon. There's not a single figure in the Chumash that's called old until Avraham. Now, Mesushelach lived into his 960s. That's old. Avraham Avinu was really not that old. So says the Medrash, it's because he was Taka, the first one who grew old. I don't know. That's what it says. Yitzchak Tava Yisurin, says the Medrash. Yitzchak asked that people have the difficulties of old age. The difficulties of the old of old age. Midas Hadin Mesucha Kenegdo. He said that Adam Mesar, he says, Ribon Kol Olamim. He says, God, Adam Mes below Yisurim. It's not good. I don't know if we're going to get to this whole piece in the Tefillah Sefer, because this Medrash is just incredible. We have to talk about it a little bit. But Yitzchak says, it's not good that a person should die without the difficulties related to old age, without the difficulties related to death. At the time, a person would sneeze and die. It would be a sudden, instant death. Sounds very good, unless you're trying to get your score leveled off before you get to the next world. Says Yitzchak, people can't afford that. We can't afford to go to the next world without having some of our demerits covered already. Right? Mitoch sha'ata mevi alav yisurin ein midas hadin mesucha kenegdo. And if people suffer before they die, then they'll be in better shape. They'll be in better shape for the next world. That's a very, very provocative, very, very provocative medrash. that says that it's good to suffer in old age. It's good to suffer before a person dies because it prepares them for the next world. I suggested on different occasions that it may be more than just the suffering itself, but what becomes of the body. We're told by Chazal that the person, when their neshama leaves their body, when we die, basically it's just the separation of body and soul, and the soul is still conscious. And not only is the soul still conscious, but the soul is still the same consciousness that the person had before. I don't become an angel when I die. My consciousness goes with me from my body. So the things that I wanted just before I died, I still want after I die. It takes quite a while for me to become adjusted to the next world and to want the things that I can only get in the next world. So what our rabbis tell us is that much of the travail of the first year after death, and this is part of why we say Kaddish, for the person to get them through this difficult time, is the desire to be back down here, to be back in the body. And that the neshama, in fact, for the first couple of days after death, hovers by the body, hoping, trying to figure out, confused, as we would expect to be, hoping that it can go back into the body. Wondering, what am I doing out here? How could I be looking at my body? It doesn't make any sense. Any one of us would try to figure out, well, how do we pretend this thing didn't happen and go forward and just get back into our body? It's very possible that when a person's body suffers or a person's body ages tremendously over the course of life, over the course of the dying process, that may be very helpful for our soul to say, I'm free. I don't want to be in that body anymore. I'm not looking to get back in there. That body has been racked with disease. That body doesn't function the way that it did. That body doesn't allow me to see, to hear, to function, to move around. When our bodies are fully functional, they're not as free as a soul without a body, but they can do most of the many of the things that a soul can do. A soul can hear without ears. A soul can see without eyes. A soul can move from place to place without a body. But when we're in our younger years, so those things come fairly easy to us. So we haven't really traded up when we become a soul. But a body that has been ravaged by disease and old age, so it likely is much easier for the soul to say, okay, I'm in a better place now. I had time in my body, but now it's time to move forward. So maybe that's part of the idea in this medrash as well. It's a very scary idea, but it makes a lot of sense. In a certain way, comforting that if a person does suffer before they die, then not only does it prepare them in terms of merit and demerit for the next world, but really it may smooth the process of them being ready to go. So says Yitzchak, I appreciate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you gave my father old age, right? Avram was the first one to get old, but Avram didn't suffer. Avram didn't face a lack of functioning. He looked, he had what we called again the atara. He had a nice beard, he had the address upon him, they made Rebbe cards about him. The whole thing, Avram Avinu looked like, oh, look at the Rebbe's face. So you could see, but he didn't face some of the things that none of us are facing yet, but may face at some point, a slowing down of the body's functioning and, you know, things like that. So Yitzchak was the first one who got cataracts. Yitzchak was the first one who got cataracts, basically, as the pasuk says. Vatichena einav meiraot. His eyes got darker and darker. Pashto says he got cataracts. He was the first one who lost his ability to see. There was no surgery today. Now you call, Alan Euless or something. It's done in 10 minutes. But in Yitzchak's time, there was nothing on the table. And he asked for that. What about Yaakov? What was left? Hey, Nebuch. What was left for Yaakov to ask for? Avram had asked for old age. Yitzchak had asked for the trials and tribulations of that come along with old age. What was next? So Yaakov tova et hacholi. Now, I know there's part of us that are turning to our avos and saying, thanks for the favor. But Yaakov asked for a process whereby an illness leads to death. An illness leads to death. Because even though Avram Avinu had gotten the nice white beard and everything, and Yitzchak at a certain point was no longer able to see. So cataracts generally are not a cause of death. He just had different things that he suffered from. But that still left no warning as to which week, which month, which day is going to be the day of death. Now, again, generally we say, wow, it was so peaceful. It was so wonderful. The person died in their sleep. And I guess more than anything, we wish for a peaceful passing into the next world. However, without any warning whatsoever, we aren't able to say certain goodbyes, wrap up certain things, finish certain things, right? And we know that Yaakov uses his final days in a very powerful way. Parshas Vayechi starts with his illness, but he's able to then, therefore, call in Yosef, call in Menashe and Ephraim, call in all of his children, give them brachos, have them there when he dies. So, you know, Yaakov had that, on the one hand, didn't just disappear in the middle of the night, but he was able to accomplish much with that. Again, a very, 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 very provocative medrash. But that's what he asked for. He asked for a couple of days' notice. Shnayim o shlosha yamim. He didn't ask for years. He asked for shnayim o shlosha yamim so that he could wrap up his affairs and he could speak to his children. Okay. This medrash was too fascinating to just hint to in the text. But why did Rav Rakovsky quote this? Because Bikesh Yisurim. What kind of person? I understand you ask for Zikna. There's no downside with Zikna if it comes with none of the ill effects of age. I understand you ask, as Yaakov Avinu did, for 2 or 3 days of illness. 2 or 3 days of illness through which he was clearly able to talk. He was clearly able, in theory, to have Ruach HaKodesh. He was able to be surrounded by his family. That's not such a bad thing to have a couple of days. But Yitzchak goes ahead and asks for Yisurim. He asks to be judged in this world. He asks to receive punishment in this world so that he'll be better off when he comes to the next world. That's a different level than Avraham and Yaakov, right? So again, so Toveya Yisurim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzchak actually asks for Yisurim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Umimenu Hemaschilim, he's the first one that has, not just Yisurim, people have had Yisurim before, but it means Yisurim of old age, right? Vatichena Einav Meiraot, he was no longer able to see. Kalu umesugarhu besof yamav bebeto. He is trapped like a prisoner, and he's kept inside. Isolation. Very interesting thing. We know that he was blind, and that it made it difficult there for him to know who he was talking to at a given moment. But we don't know this piece of information, or we may not have noticed it. Kalu umesugarhu besof yamav bebeto. He spends his last years stuck inside. He's homebound. Machmat ivaruno, because he is blind. Nechshav kemeis b'chayev. And he's therefore, Chazal tell us that there are a number of individuals who, even though they're living, their life is a living death. And that was the case for Yitzchak. Have advances for the blind changed that? I don't know. But Yitzchak's case, where he couldn't leave his house for many years at the end of his life, many, many years at the end of his life, he couldn't leave his house. He was stuck there. He had no one to help him in many cases. So this was a death for him. He lived in darkness. He lived in darkness. And interestingly, like the sun going down and the light going away, it doesn't seem to say that he had an incident where he became blind. Right? Vatichena einav meiraot seems to say, meiraot seems to say that it happened naturally. terrible cataracts. That's what he had. And if so, the light would slowly, slowly, slowly diminish. Light being taken away. I don't know if you ever thought of it this way, but that was the life of Yitzchak. Yitzchak starts at noon. He's the son of Avraham Avinu. He is the most eligible single Jewish guy in the world. In fact, he's the only eligible single guy in the world. And he's the prince. And then from that height, at the time that he's born, the gullus sort of sets in and he faces difficulty after difficulty. And eventually the light itself actually begins to disappear from his eyes. And then he quotes a Rashi, but it's really the Ramban who is the one who points this out. Rashi Breishis Chafei Yud Gimel, but really it's that Ramban. Ein einenu mesugal af lehishtatef bekvuras ishto. He's not able to make his wife's funeral. Where did that come from? He's not able to make his wife's funeral, and the reason why he's not able to make his wife's funeral is because he's blind? What is that? So that's a Ramban. That's a very powerful and scary Ramban. Where do we have a record of Rivka's death and funeral in the Chumash? So the answer is, we don't. We don't have any record of Rivka's death or her funeral. Now, to be fair, we don't have a record of Leah's death either. Sarah was Sarah. With all due respect to Rivka and Leah and Rachel, Sarah was Sarah. Sarah's death occurred. It was one of the trials and tribulations of Avraham's life. And therefore, that's how it got in. Rachel died a tragic death on the road, so she got in. But Rivka and Leah died in old age. So Leah also is not mentioned. But where is Rivka mentioned? Did someone put it in the chat here? What did they say?
When they talk about the Minaket of Devorah, right?
That, yes.
Yitzchak made
there. Correct answer. Correct answer. Yes. That there's a very strange pasuk. The pasuk says in Parshas Vayishlach, before they go to meet Esav, right? After the story with Shechem, after the story with Shechem, so the very strange pasuk, as Daniel's saying, says, Vatamas Devora Meinekes Rivka. At that point, Devora, the nursemaid of Rivka, dies. Vatikaver Mitachas Levet El, Tachas Ha'alon Vaikrashimo Alon Bechut. And she's buried near Beit El under a tree. This is a woman we've never heard of before. We never heard that she was born. We never heard what she did, right? And now we find out, is her name mentioned earlier? I'm not doing well tonight. They're phasing out. Old age is coming in like the Medrash. So, but we certainly know very little about Devorah. Why are we told about Devorah's funeral? What is that for? So there's a rabbinic tradition that it was really Rivka's funeral. It was really Rivka's funeral. It wasn't just Devorah's funeral. Devorah also died then, but Devorah died and Rivka died. And Rivka's funeral is hinted to in this place here. So says the Ramban, why would Rivka's funeral be hinted to? Either talk about it or don't talk about it. We don't talk about Leah's funeral. So why do you have to talk about Rivka's funeral? So why mention her death secondhand, but not actually talk about the fact that she was there? So Rashi has a whole thing quoted from the Medrash. Very strange thing. The Ramban says like this. Aval yitachin lomar shelo hayala kavod b'misasa. That Nebuch, where's the justice here? I don't know. Rivka had a very, very shvach funeral. Why? Ki Yaakov einenu sham. Yaakov wasn't there. Okay, Yaakov was still on the road. He was still on the way back from Padan Aram. Ve'esav soneota ve'lo yavo shama. And her other son refused to come to her funeral because he hated her, because he knew that she was the one behind the brachos. The Yitzchak kahu einav ve'eino yotze mi beiso. And Yitzchak was homebound. He was homebound, and he couldn't therefore make his way to the funeral. You get the sense that Rivka wasn't even there at the time. It wasn't that they were together and Rivka passed away, that almost that Rivka must have been somewhere else, and Yitzchak was like in some sort of place that he was all isolated by himself. V'lo ratzah kasuv lahazkir shekivruha b'nei ches. Gevalt. And the pasuk didn't want to say that the b'nei ches had to bury her. She was a meis mitzvah. She was a meis mitzvah. There was nobody from the family who was there, who was able to bury her. So this was the later life of Yitzchak. So Yitzchak is not living a life of not being sure where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Yitzchak is living a life where he's inviting God into his life to punish him. He's inviting, he's bringing it on. He says, I'd rather suffer here than suffer in the next world. His entire life is a life of being just in a shadow, so to speak. Avram Avinu is the height of the sun, and Yitzchak is the sun setting. Das l'navon nakel. It's simple for a smart person to understand this, or basically, obviously, what he's saying. Shehan hagoso shel Yitzchak midas hadin. His whole life represents midas hadin, being in the presence of and accepting the midas hadin. He hashoresh leparshas chayev. That's the underlying root of everything that happens in his life. Toveahu yisurim. He asks for judgment. He asks for punishment. And he is separated from all of the good things in this world. We're going to learn that what exactly is Yira, what exactly is fear of God, what exactly is it to face the Midas Adin? His kansus ha'adam begvulos atzmo. The natuk kol ma'arechet kesher. Part of fear of God is to pull into oneself. It's natural that contact with others, that being out in the world, makes our guard go down. If a person wants to make sure that they don't sin, they don't engage in too much. They don't leave. They don't talk to people. They don't go around. They don't go out into the world. Someone whose primary mida is to make sure they don't take a misstep, doesn't take a step at all. And that's basically what the life of Yitzchak was. When Yitzchak was confined to his home at the end of his life, it was tragic, but it was also fueling Yitzchak's strength, to be before God, to be not before people, to be away from human contact. Yitzchak barely speaks a word in the entire Parshias about him. He barely says anything. He barely says anything to his wife. He's very quiet. He's reticent. He's introverted. But all of this, not because of a character flaw, but because his thing is Yira. His thing is to be afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's a very extreme example. Kach Yitzchak chayav retzufei yisurin. It's just one difficult thing after another. Minutak hu mimakom. He is uprooted from any particular place. Mevudad hu me'anshei mekomo. What does it accomplish? He doesn't have any connections with people. He's constantly traveling here, there. He's always the new guy in the neighborhood during a pandemic. He never gets to meet anybody. He doesn't know where he moved. He doesn't know who lives on his block. He's just always, he is separate and he's apart. Yitzchak tikein tfilas mincha. That's what it means that Yitzchak established mincha. He hatfila la'ani. That's a tfila for a poor person. Shel sha'at hadin kasher, the very difficult sha'at hadin. So we've seen so far, these first 2 weeks of this discussion, these two extreme characters. Avraham knows everybody. Avraham's house is open on all sides. Right? Think about it. Avraham even when he's sick, he can't stay in his house. He has to run out of his house at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. For him, a house is something that confines him and constrains him, because human contact is everything that he's about. Yitzchak asks for Yisurim. Yitzchak asks for things that will cause him to end up being separated from other people, because he is the Midah of Yira, the ultimate extrovert, the ultimate introvert. These two characters set for us a path of living a life of chesed and love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and living in the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a path of Yira and fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, living in darkness by choice, because it's better for one's Olam Haba to face that. One is the sun rising, Shachris, and one is the sun setting. And now we'll have to figure out the next piece for next week, Yaakov Domeh La'arvis. What does it mean? What is the Machus? We talked about this at the end of the last chapter. What really is Ma'ariv? It's not reward, it's not punishment, it's not chesed, it's not din. It's a meshing of different things. It's a bringing together, right? We pointed out that the night is not one entity. It starts as a continuation of the afternoon, and it's the beginning of the next day, of the dawn rising. We'll have to understand how Yaakov's life and the way he approached HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents Ma'ariv. Till next week, Amit Sashem.
Very good.